it's a good morning. Once again, welcome. This is Realm of the Historics, and today we are looking at what is going on. The Middle East is on fire. And this fire is not exceptional. It's not special fire. The Middle East has always been on fire for 1,400 years. In fact, Middle East has seen the most fierce battles. You know, at some point where even God himself was involved. And to some point, even Satan himself was involved. So it's Middle East. That's a Middle East. You don't play with that area. It's a very special area. And, you know, according to biblical, let me say, according to say, to some eschatology, if I get in eschatology, you guys will not sleep because you'll be afraid. But according to eschatology and according to angelology, there are four major generals that are bound at the river of, between the river of, rivers of Tigris and Euphrates. And apparently, those rivers will dry up. And when they dry up, they will prepare the way of the king of the east. And before that, those four generals will be released. And there will be war that has never been since the world was founded. People will die. So who are these generals? Those are generals, chief generals. They are not just, they are top military commanders. Okay, let me not go there. Let's leave eschatology for now. But those were, according to angelology. I'm telling you, according to angelology and according to eschatology. And according to the apocalyptic scripts or writings, these were Satan's main generals. And that's why they are bound there, no bail for them. But Satan himself is on bail. You know, because he's not a harmful guy. Satan is a harmless guy. So he's on bail. But then they are bound. Their prison is there. So the day they will be released, there will be hell on earth, such as has never been seen before.
Slow internet should be a headache of the past, yet many Namibians have connections that just aren't fast. We have a solution that might set you free. It's called Mobile LTE, and it comes with real speed. You'll enjoy up to 50 megabytes per second from just 300 Namibian dollars a month and free internet browsing after midnight till 6. When it comes to staying connected, this is it. Visit Paratus.Africa/Namibia or our branches nationwide and experience the thrill of better internet with Paratus by your side. Always prepare, Paratus.
All right. So what happened? What happened? What happened? What is going on? So what is going on? Israel has attacked Iran on Friday. And Israel has attacked Iran. On Friday, June 13th, Israel attacked Iran decimating its nuclear facilities and also killing up to 3 top general or top military commanders, you know, and 6 major scientists, including some professors. So, and everybody was like, okay, so Iran is knocked out. You know, Iran has been given a knockout. They will not be able to respond. Israel got victory. But June 13th did not end. And most of us that are journalists that are interested in international geopolitics, we could not sleep. You know, starting from 9 o'clock in the night, we started to hear that Iran is preparing an attack. And I had to move from my room into my personal studio. And I had to put my phone constantly on charge so that I get the information from the sources on the ground. That Iran was finally responding and Tel Aviv was on fire. So Tel Aviv was on fire and yeah, that's what happened. Now, let's talk about what Israel wants to achieve. Israel seems to want to crush Iran completely and to annihilate and to collapse Iran as a state. That is what Israel wants to do. That's what Israel wants to achieve. So whether or not they will achieve that, we don't know. We are yet to see. Okay, before I go further, I am joined in studio by David Shombe. He's one of our colleagues here. One of our colleagues here that is doing on Kundana Dingi all the time on the radio. So he wants to come and taste the cake called Realm of the Historics. And, you know, this is not an easy, it's not an easy program because you are forced to stay up in the night just to understand and get the correct information so that when you come here, you have 99% information, 99% accuracy of what you're talking about.
Understanding what is happening and also learning. It's always very important to learn from the professor and look at what's happening. So tighten your belt and let's see where the Realm of History will take us this afternoon. Let's continue.
Yeah, so I think you need to speak right into your mic because I'm picking a low signal from you here. All right.
Yeah, I think now it's audible. So, dear listeners, it's always a pleasure to be here and with my professor. Let's see what's happening around the world. And it's also very important to look at what information we are getting and also analyzing them. And yeah, with France here, we are here until the hour of, is it 1 or 12?
1.
Until the hour of 1. Yes, let's continue.
Alright, so Israel want to collapse Iran, completely collapse Iran. And I'll come to that point in a bit. So what did Israel achieve? Of course, Israel achieved, according to reports, if they are true, Israel achieved 2 things. Decimation of nuclear sites and also decimation of top commanders of the Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps, the IRGC, which is a very powerful military wing of the Iranian armed force. They killed 3 commanders and they killed 6 scientists. So that's victory, if you look at it. So what did the response, Iran's response, achieve? Well, Israel has a mentality of hiding their losses. They don't disclose their losses. Israel, Ukraine, America, all these Western countries have that's the same mentality of only talking about the losses of their own opponents, and they don't talk about their own losses. So, but stories that are coming from the ground are suggesting that Israel's air defense system were being overwhelmed by hundreds of Iranian ballistic missiles. And they are not just ballistic, they are also hypersonic. So hypersonic missiles are very fast, and they cannot be detected by, they cannot be shot down by a normal air defense system. So Tel Aviv was on fire. The Israeli military headquarters were hit to the point that the Minister of Defense in Israel says Iran has crossed the line. You don't cross the line when you don't, when you have not dealt damage. So there might have been damage. There might have been some damage. And that is why Iran has closed the line. Now, let's go back a little bit where this thing is coming from. Netanyahu, in his 1996 book, his vision was to destroy or to overthrow 7 countries. 7 countries. And the list of these countries: Iran, Iraq, Yemen, Syria, Lebanon, Sudan, and Libya. Those are the 7 countries that Netanyahu in his book is talking about, you know, decimating. Has Netanyahu achieved this? Almost. He's achieved 99% of his vision. Iraq has been destroyed. Syria has been destroyed. Lebanon is kaput. Sudan is in a mess. Yemen, we don't even know whether it is coming or going. So now Iran. So Iran is the last of those countries that should be destroyed, according to Netanyahu's plan. Whether Iran will be destroyed or not, we are yet to see that, because it's yet too early. And in fact, before we get on air, I got messages that the Rehoboth Scientific Center has been hit by Iranian missiles. So it seems that the fight is still continuing. The Iranians have responded. They have also responded, and they are busy. They are responding, but the Iranian military has been disarrayed because top commanders have been destroyed. So now they are regrouping, and let's see what they can put up. Those are the short wars. So now, without, let me just give you an overview, historical exposition of what these 7 countries are. I mean, I'm not going to go through all, but I'm just going to give you some. You see, if you look at Lebanon was a very powerful country, both biblically and historically. or when we look at the biblical history, Lebanon was a powerful country. In fact, Lebanon was kind of like a supply center of timber. You know, most countries used to get timbers from Lebanon. If you read the book of Song of Songs, you will hear the Bible talking about the cedars of Lebanon. Because cedar trees were those trees that were used to make timber. So, and Lebanon was known to have had plenty of those trees. Now we talk about the political history of Lebanon. Lebanon was a powerful country. They had flourishing democracy. They had an economy that was good. Everything was powerful. You know, Lebanon was like a bread basket in the 60s. But of course, Uncle Sam went in and confused Lebanon to this point. Because Uncle Sam could not stand to see a country in the Middle East flourishing democratically, flourishing politically, and economically going well. Uncle Sam decided, no, this cannot happen. Lebanon must be in Karatagoma. We are going to reign Karatagoma in Lebanon. And they did that. They toppled a democratic country, and they put in the person that they wanted, and then that's where chaos started. And Lebanon today is in shambles. So, and we talk about Syria. Syria got independent around the 1961, 1962. So, and Syria has been a democratic, powerful economy, powerful country. And they wanted, so the Americans decided to destroy it again. But then here's what happened around Syria. Syria, you know, asked to be part of the Arab, there was a United Arab State that was led by Egypt. And Syria and Yemen were part of that republic. So Syria also wanted to join it. So they have been there, part of that for almost 5 years. But then in 1967, there was war. So, Israel.
Titanium, the perfect fit between platinum and silver, complementing our existing benefit options. We always offer a comprehensive healthcare experience. NHP, the premier member-centric medical aid fund. Visit NHP today at nhp.com.na. NHP, we're about you.
May God bless and keep you always. May your wishes all come true. May you.
All right. Sorry for that. I thought my mic was on, and I'm talking to myself. Alright, so in 1967 there was war. And Israel, Egypt, Syria were fighting. They started bombing Israel from the east. Syria started bombing Israel from the north. And Egypt started advancing from the south. And then war did not go well for Egypt, because Egypt by that time sent their troops to Yemen. to just support Yemen, because Yemen was part of the Arab Republic that was led by Egypt, which Syria wanted to join. So, and what happened was Israel decimated Egypt big time. And the war ended. It was just fought in 6 days. So Syria has been flourishing, has been a flourishing democracy. But it has been destroyed by Uncle Sam. And they put in, and for some time, there was chaos in Syria until Assad, you know, the senior, came to power. He's the one that came to restore Syria to order. Okay, let's stand there for now. The same with Yemen. All these countries were having good governance. But it is Uncle Sam that went there and destroyed everything. Now, twenty-five minutes to 12. Messages are coming in now that China has stepped up, that they are now beginning to supply weapons to Iran. So this is getting out of hand right now, because China is now involved. We don't know how much Russia will be involved, and America and France have already indicated that they are supporting Israel.
Are we going to see World War III or something?
Are we going to see what?
World War III or something, or Western powers and Eastern powers facing each other again?
Yeah, we might not see World War III. But we might see a larger proxy confrontation,
mm-hmm.
for countries.
Okay.
Yeah. So we might see that, but we need to try to see if we can go for a short break, for a short musical break.
just work hard, you will succeed. Ya mueta picho, puro nene ta karonga. Ya mueta cosa, ta wono yo ta isi kire na komite. Ya mueta pura, ta tia mueta mwishende ni. Just work hard, you will succeed. Namibia, 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 give me your attention. Namibia, Namibia, give me your attention. Namibia, Namibia, give me your attention.
right. So if you want to succeed, just work hard. Nothing that comes on a silver platter. Everything you have to sweat for it. You know, John Wanenga started Eagle FM with a jack-to-jack cable. Just one jack-to-jack. It was a 3.5 to 6.5 jack. So, if you think everything comes easy, you are in a different, you are not in our world. Right, we continue. You know what, sometimes when I'm talking about this issue of history and geopolitics, I just don't know where to touch because I just have a lot of layers. Okay, now let's get to investigate. Netanyahu seemed to have achieved almost 99% of his goal. Well, Netanyahu seemed to have achieved what he wanted. 99%. But I think now he is dealing with a formidable army also. You know, he is also dealing with a very formidable military force. Because the government in Iran is not yet toppled. And I think the strategy is to create more chaos in Iran so that the people will start demonstrating to revolt against, against the government. And this is what Netanyahu is counting on. He's counting on a revolt, on an Iranian revolt, where the Iranians lose, you know, confidence in its leadership, and then they will revolt against it. Then the Israelis will come in, you know, swiftly and take out everything they need to take out. Well, let's see. Let's see if it will work. It seems that Israel is using the same strategy that the Ukrainians used under Operation Spiderweb, which was planned for 18 months. And this is an operation that have seen the damage of Russian strategic bombers, strategic aviations, and one of the legs of what is called the nuclear triad. And you see, when you attack somebody's triad and you damage it, you are declaring war. So because Ukraine is not a nuclear armed country, the Russians had moderate response to Ukraine. But let me say, if it was Britain that solely did this attack, by this time we could have been talking about Britain having disappeared from the face of the earth. Okay, and since I'm a journalist, and you know, in journalism you need to be neutral and balanced. But sometimes it is very difficult to balance what is true and to be neutral with what is true. So, but because you see, Britain is a very small island, and it doesn't take a lot of nuclear weapons to destroy it completely. It will only need one submarine to fire one nuclear undersea torpedo that will create a tsunami. And that will be the end of Britain as an island. You don't need rocket science to understand that. You just need to understand the reality. And the British know this very well. And that's why they use Ukraine as a non-nuclear country. But the Russian doctrine has changed, that if a non-nuclear country is assisted by a nuclear-armed country to create a threat against Russia as a state. Russia reserves the right to respond with a nuclear attack on both countries. So the Israelis used the same tactic. They got the trucks into Iran, and then drones were fired from those trucks heading to the designated locations. So, which means the people that were helping Ukraine to make an attack on Russia are the same people that helped Israel to make an attack on Iran. And unlike the Russian situation, the British did not come out and claim responsibility because of fear that if they claim responsibility, Russia will take it as an attack directly by Britain, and that will be met with a nuclear response, and nobody wants to go there. So, and I think Uncle Sam, because, you know, in as much as Uncle Sam likes war, Uncle Sam has a medulla oblongata that works. Because Uncle Sam understands which war is to be fought and which war is not to be fought. So Uncle Sam has rebuked Ukraine, you know, the Trump administration especially. They have said, well, Ukraine, you have given Russia the reason to bomb the hell out of you. And these are the words of Trump. I'm just paraphrasing them. They say, Trump says Zelensky has given Putin the reason to bomb the hell out of them. Because Trump knows that under the 2010 treaty between Moscow and Washington, it's an agreement called the New START Agreement, where they signed agreeing that each of them put their strategic aviation in the open. And they agreed that none of them will help their opponents to attack those strategic aviations. But the Ukrainians have violated this, and the Americans were embarrassed. And that's why Putin said he will respond. He will respond. And Trump did not object to the response because Trump understands very well that there is an agreement in place. Whether or not the Russians are going to continue keeping their aviations in the open, that is yet to be seen. Now, let's go back to Iran. With Iran, it is different because the British and the French have come out to say we are supporting Israel. Because Iran is not a nuclear country, so they have nothing to fear. They have nothing to fear because Iran is not a nuclear country. So they can come up and say, we are supporting Israel. Now, it seems that China and Russia are coming out to say they are condemning the Americans and the Israeli for the Iranian attack. And now we see that China is supplying weapons. And most of you think this is irrelevant. What is he talking about? Why is he talking about Iran-Israel war where we don't have water in Havana? Your situation of lack of water in Havana will be better by the time you will hear that there's a full out war. Because you don't have water in Havana, your sister is doing order with me. And that is a sister that on the 31st of May, you asked for a 500 from the same sister. So she gave you an e-wallet of 500 because she was doing business. But with an all-out war, the sea route will be blocked and your sister's order with me business will be affected. And when your sister is affected, you will be affected as well. So this is how dire this situation is. So it's not far from your, it is far from your medulla oblongata in terms of how you need to understand it. It is also far from your mouth, but near your pocket. So the problem is near your pocket, very much near. Were we not crying when Ukraine and Russia was started, when grain was blocked, could not reach African countries? Were we not crying that the United Nations should do something? Because you can't produce grain massively to be able to be enough to supply your own people. You need additional supply from Ukraine or from Russia. And should an all out war, you know, break out, you will forget about eating pap. So this is how serious the matter is. Now, Britain and France have nothing to fear in this one, because Iran is not a nuclear armed. They were just trying to come up with their own nuclear, if those allegations are true. But mostly Iran said their own nuclear was for peaceful means. They wanted to develop electricity and energy. But Israel is paranoid, because Israel sees everyone as an enemy. And everyone in the Middle East see Israel as the enemy number one. And they are fighting. Now, we hear that the Houthis, or the Houthis in Yemen, have also fired ballistic missiles, what they call the Palestinian 2, or Palestine 2 hypersonic missile, that has been fired to Israel in Rafah. And this was done in coordination with the Iranian army. So things are about to get out of hand if things continue to escalate. Please pardon our drrr there on the ground. Because we there are some activities outside there. I don't want to go deeper, and I don't want to mention names. We continue. Okay, so now let's look at, for example, a full out war. You know, an all-out war between Iran and Israel. And of course, that is not going to be Iran and Israel alone. That is going to be China, Russia, on the side of Iran. And that's the entire West on the side of, Israel. And of course, some Arab countries that were neutral will also be forced to choose sides. But the problem with Arab countries is that they are no longer united. The Arab countries are no longer united, because you have Qatar, you have the United Arab Emirates, you have Saudi Arabia, which are choosing to be a little bit moderate, you know. They will condemn here and there, but their prime focus now is technology, technological advancement, and they want to do business. These are countries that have transformed themselves into economies, into financial capitals, and they don't want to lose that for Gaza, that can offer nothing. You know? They don't want to lose that for Hamas. What can Hamas offer? Nothing. There's no oil. There seem to be no natural resources in Gaza. So the Saudis, the Qataris, the Emirates do not want to waste time in wars that don't bring them any benefit. They want to do business with Uncle Sam, with everyone, and they are doing very well. So countries like Egypt, that are at the core of the so-called, Arab League, if it indeed exists. So Arabs are being fragmented. They are no longer as united as they were in the 50s. They are no longer united as they were, because the unity of Arab is economically detrimental. It's not economically viable for a united Arab, front. And in fact, Arab power is going down. Most of them are even, becoming moderate. A lot of them in the Middle East are becoming Christians. So, and that is Islamic strength is no longer there. It's dying out. It is now left to organizations such as Al-Qaeda, Al-Shabaab, Al-Muslimin, the Houthis, the Hamas, and so forth, the ISIL. But those organizations are just few thousands of, disgruntled, Shiites and Sunni, groups that don't really have a precise vision as to what they want to achieve. They're just fighting. So that's the situation. The only country that is standing, that is not under threat of being overthrown, is Pakistan. Pakistan is an Islamic republic, but Pakistan seems to be supporting Israel. Yeah, Pakistan seems to be supporting, Israel. Countries like Jordan, Oman, countries like Kuwait, and countries like, countries like Oman, Kuwait, Jordan, those countries are already neutral. And they are already pro Uncle Sam. They are not, they are part of the Arab League, but for the sake of it, they are no longer interested in. In fact, they will even gather their own air defense system and start defending Israel. So, the so-called Arab League finds itself into a very dire situation, delicate situation. It's a breaking point. Let's say now Iran falls. When Iran falls, the Middle East has fallen completely. Because all the countries that are going to survive are going to be Israeli vassals, vassal states. And they are going to do according to what Israel wants. And that's what Israel wants. Israel wants a neutralized Middle East where Israel can flourish as a state. That's what the Israelis want. They want a state. They want a neutral Middle East, which is no longer under the acid of Islam and Islamic radicalism.
How did Iran manage to survive for a very long time?
Okay. How did what?
Yeah, when other countries in the Middle East were going down, how did Iran manage to survive for a long time? And the other question is also that when we have seen the different reports about Iran replying to Israel, they seem like they have high level of technology for guiding their missiles. How come they come to that stage?
Iran, did not just survive threats from the West. Iran also survived Islamic threat.
Mm-hmm.
When you are talking about Iran, you are talking about the Persians.
Okay.
And the Persians are very wise, collected people. And they believed so much in themselves. These are the Persians and the Medes. You can conquer their land, yeah, but you can never conquer them. Mm-hmm. They will still flourish in what they believe in. Mm-hmm. That is the type of people that the Persians are. Even the biblical Persia.
Yeah.
They were not, they were not radical, violent people.
Okay, okay.
Yeah. So the Arabs under Islam conquered Iran as a place and made it a republic of Islamic Republic.
Yeah.
But they never conquered the Persians. They have never conquered the Persian mind.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Persian mind is centered on, you know, centered on knowledge and innovation.
Okay.
And okay, that is what they've been good at. Even from the biblical, you know, times. When we're talking about, we are not only talking about the Iranians, we're also talking about the people in Iraq, the Babylonians.
Yeah.
The Chaldeans, where Nabopolassar, the father of Nebuchadnezzar, became a king.
Mm-hmm.
Those guys have been like that.
Mm-hmm.
You can conquer them, but not their mind.
So they are determined.
Yes. So even Islam could not destroy them.
Okay. And the other question, you spoke about hypersonic missiles. And we have seen a lot of analysts, they have been saying Israel has the best defense system, maybe if not in the world, in the Middle East. The Iron Dome, or they call it David Sling, or whatever they call it.
No, there is what we call the David Sling.
Yeah.
And the Iron Dome.
Yeah.
And the Patriot missile in the third system. Now, Israel has four layers of defense system. There is the Iron Dome, which is both medium, long range, and short range.
Okay, okay.
And you have the David Sling, which is also short, medium, and long range.
Yeah.
And then you have the American third system, which is also short, mid, and long range.
So there are four.
And then you also have the American Patriot system, which is also short, and mid, and long range. But they were all put to test on Friday night.
So is Iran advancing its weapon, or how come they breach, and we have seen a lot of buildings are collapsing, and people are also complaining to say, no, there's no enough information being given about what's happening in Israel, but what's happening in
the issue is
yeah,
we are living in a world of innovation,
yeah,
and everyone is innovating. So the Iranians could create a missile that could evade radar detection,
mm-hmm,
and vice versa. So you cannot really say your air defense is powerful unless it is, unless there is evidence that it has shot down all the missiles.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You cannot really say your air defense system is powerful, because the person created their missile considering your air defense system.
Okay, now, so as we are speaking now,
Iran has a nuclear weapon, or they are still trying to build?
No, Iran doesn't have nuclear weapon. So Iran does not have nuclear weapons.
Okay, okay, okay.
Yeah, not yet.
Okay, now how are these things going to turn out? What are probabilities? Let's look at maybe what will bring Netanyahu on the table, or he's still going to accomplish what he put?
Netanyahu will only come on the table when Iran collapses.
What if it's the other way around?
Well, that is at least what is in Netanyahu's mind.
Okay.
He will only come to the negotiating table with a new Iranian government after the collapsing of this government. Whether that is possible or not, that is at least what he thinks. That is what he wants to achieve.
Okay, maybe you can also comment on UN. UN look like I don't know how to say it's weak. Look like they are just making pronunciation and they are condemning. Now, what happened to Netanyahu's warrant of arrest and also?
Well, the International Court of Justice is under sanction by America for saying that they want to arrest Netanyahu. And America has already made it clear that their own people will not be indicted under the so-called international, court of justice. So, and the United Nations will do nothing, because the United Nations is a group of all countries, but there are only two superpowers in the world, just Russia and America. So if Russia does something, the UN can put sanction all they want, but they will not be able to stop Russia. If America does what they want, they can always talk, and they will not stop America from doing, because there is no United Nations army that can mobilize to attack America or to attack Russia, for example. Because Russia can use nuclear weapons against any country that will want to attack them. The same with America. Okay. So no country has capacity to attack them. But Russia and America have capacity to attack everyone.
Okay.
At least that's what they think.
It's very difficult.
Yeah, so United Nations, no United Nations is the same. United Nations can only come into Congo, as a peacekeeping.
Yeah.
Force. Yeah. But United Nations will never mobilize troops to say, let's go to Gaza and fight. Israel will bomb them.
Okay. Are we going to see China directly involved in this Middle East conflict? Because one thing that we are seeing is that when Iran joined BRICS, China became the main trading partner with Iran. And they are saying, reports are saying, China is buying most of Iran oil. Are we seeing China going to protect its friends?
Of course. China is already doing that.
Directly?
They are directly. There are not two ways about it. China is already condemning what the U.S. have done diplomatically.
Mm-hmm.
But there could be other channels that are open right now as we speak. As country to country, the Iran has the right to cry to China to say, help me here. The same with when Israel can cry to America to give them weapons. The same, Iran can ask China to give them weapons.
Mm-hmm.
Because Article 51 of the United Nations Charter, gives every country the right to defend themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, if probabilities come high that there is an all-out war, it may not really be a third world war as such.
Mm-hmm.
It will be a mini major power proxy war. And you see, the Americans don't like fighting long wars. The Americans want to fight war that is winnable.
Okay.
Yeah, so once they see that this war will drag on for a long time, they will pull out and they'll say, Netanyahu, pull out. Okay, an example I will give you is in 1973.
Yeah.
There was a conflict that broke out between Israel and Egypt.
Yeah.
And the Egyptians were smashing the Israelis very well. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, Israel was in problem. And Israel appealed to the U.S. And the U.S. airlifted everything that they could pick. Now, the Israelis started pushing back. Because now they have weapons. They started pushing back. And they pushed back and they were 100 kilometers into Egypt.
Yeah.
That's when the Soviet stood up and called the Americans to say, you are 100 kilometers in Egypt.
Yeah.
We are getting in.
We are just informing you.
Yeah, we are just telling, we are telling you that we are getting into Egypt now.
So when everything is happening, everyone is watching from both sides.
So they told the Americans, we are getting into Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
And Kissinger called the Israelis and told them, look, we did not give you weapons to get into Egypt. We gave you weapons to push the Egyptians out of your land.
So go back.
Now, what are you doing? No, Israel, you know Israel. No, we want to decimate Egypt completely. Kissinger says, no, back off.
Mm-hmm.
Because you are now gambling with World War III. Back off.
Mm-hmm.
Get out.
So, okay.
Yeah. So Israel wanted to, you know, show some muscles. And they were told, if you don't get out, you will fight the war alone.
Now, because let's look at what's happening in, let's look at the military structure of Iran. We have been only hearing about the Revolutionary Guard. What's happening with the army? And a lot of people who have been attacked, or even who have been blacklisted by the U.S., it's only the Revolutionary Guard. How are these guys structured and how are they operating in this war?
Iran is a big country.
Yeah.
With a population of almost 170 or 180 million.
Yeah.
So you are expecting them to have larger military wings.
Okay.
Such as that of the Iranian Revolutionary Corps.
Yeah.
Revolutionary Guard Corps.
Mm.
That's part of their army.
Okay.
Yeah. It's part of their army. It has three, there's Air Force, there's Naval Force, and there's also a ground force.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But now, that structure, it seems that the top military commanders that they had there were the ones that were destroyed by Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That was a short-sightedness from Iran side to expose all those generals like that. Whether they were exposed or not, but that's what happened. So, but they are now regrouping, or they have regrouped, we don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But the response is going on. Israel is also raising their F-16s in the skies to target certain military installations in Iran. But mostly they are hitting civilian areas.
Mm-hmm. Now, there are informations which are indicating that there are some two F-35s which were shot down by the Iranian army. And when you look at the website of Iranian embassy in India, they posted that. But there is a lot of response from the Israelis to say those are misleading information, it's not true. What do you say about this?
Yeah, in war,
yeah.
You also fight at the front of, you also have a propaganda front,
okay.
Media front.
Mm.
So, in both sides can propagate false information.
Mm-hmm.
The other side can deny something that is true,
mm-hmm.
and the other side can also create a false information just to break the morale of their opponent. That's common in war. Just example, The Indians were also saying, denying that their equal aircraft were not shot down by the Pakistani army.
Okay.
Yeah, but the Pakistani army were using Chinese aircraft, you know, and the Indians were using both, you know, French or Western, and, you know, the Indians were mostly using Russian S-400 air defense system.
Okay.
And according to the Indian, I forgot this military general, retired military general.
Okay.
Anil Chopra, yes.
Yeah.
Anil Chopra.
Mm.
According to Anil Chopra, the Russian air defense system and the Russian weaponry proved to be very successful against the Pakistani military installations.
Mm-hmm.
So, but the Pakistanis are saying this, no, we shot down Indian aircraft, big time. But the Indians are denying that. So there is always that the media front. You remember during the Ukraine conflict when, you know, Ukraine was said that only two weeks, you know, Russia will be pushed back to their borders, and the Russians are dying, Ukrainians are winning.
So there's a psychological warfare.
Yeah, it's a psychological warfare, which is mostly, which the media is mostly the battleground.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So when we started to hear that, the Russians are now using chip from washing machines to create missiles. So all those were, you know, propagated information, and not many days after that, they started running out of what to say, and we started to hear that Zelensky is constantly asking for more weapons.
Now, okay, how protected is the Supreme Leader? Because not only reports and also books were written to say, when you look at Israel, it is the most sophisticated or supreme intelligence in the world. Maybe second to CIA what they present, or maybe FBS. They are saying Mossad is very strong and can pinpoint any person. But I think it has also proven that by, you know, taking down a lot of guys for Hamas leaders and all those things. How protected is the Supreme Leader of Iran? Or is not a priority to them?
No, I don't think, I think it's not a priority for them.
Mm-hmm.
The problem with intelligence is that intelligence is very complex because you have operatives of both countries in both countries.
In your system.
Yeah. You have people in your intelligence systems that are working for the Russians, for example.
Okay.
And vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
So taking out each other is very easy in this world of innovation because everybody knows where who is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So if you talk about in fact, there is no top intelligence between KGB, MI6, CIA, and
Mossad.
There is no top intelligence there. Because all of these people might have operatives that are operating in countries for the other person.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's how complex the situation is. So if you become a priority, it becomes very easy to be taken out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the Ukrainians have done that. They've taken out a lot of Russian, you know, top generals.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the Russians know where Zelensky is in and out, but it's just because he's not a priority, or they can hit the headquarters of intelligence of Ukraine intelligence, but they can't do that because
they have their people
inside that are informing them of what is going on.
Okay.
Yeah. So you need to be strategic in military on what target you are. You know what type of installation that you want to bomb. Yeah, you don't just take out everything.
So because you also have your people on the other side.
You have your people that are feeding you information the other side. Uh-huh. And that is military unwise, or militarily unwise, mm-hmm. you know, to just, yeah. So that's how it is. It's very, it's very complicated to say how protected is who. No one is really protected. It's just the fact that you are not a priority.
Let's see, maybe in the next 10 days how things are going to turn out. But let's talk about Trump. Trump is a very unpredictable person, and he made a lot of pronunciations. Some are, maybe you can say it's his principle, but he ended up also contradicting himself, because when he got to power for the second time, he stated that he's going to create a lot of peace. And he started with negotiation when he came to power. But it seems like things are getting out of hands, and he's joining the crew also. Well, what is happening with America?
All right. We'll come and answer that question after a short musical break.
See you.
All right, we are back, and 24 minutes to 1. 1 o'clock, I will be getting out of here. Yeah. David, you see? Your mic keep dying. What is going on? Your mic keep dying. Is this one?
No.
You see?
No, I'm okay.
This is mic. Okay, something is. We will deal with it.
Oh, okay. Let's continue with. Let's continue with the rim of the historic. I asked my question regarding Trump. Where is Trump standing?
Well, Trump. One thing you need to know is that Trump is a business person.
He's focused on money, right?
Yes, his focus is in making money. And, well, you see, it's like I told you that Uncle Sam is a profit maker. Every war that he fights must bring him profit. Mm-hmm. So if they see that Israeli-Iranian war is profitable, they will go for it. But the moment they start to see that, we are losing money, they will tell Netanyahu, my bro, we are pulling out. You pull out.
Okay.
Yeah. And once Uncle Sam tells you that pull out and you insist you want to continue, Uncle Sam will leave you and you will be browbeaten alone. Because Uncle Sam cannot afford to be embarrassed.
Okay.
It's too big for that. But it seems that the Ukraine war has brought an embarrassment to Uncle Sam. They lost $600 billion.
It's a bad investment.
It was a bad investment. It was a miscalculation. They lost money. Mm-hmm. Not only in pumping weapons into war, but also the business companies, American business companies, lost business. They lost a big Russian market.
Okay.
And that's why they want to come back.
Mm.
So, and that's big powers. When they fight a war, they make calculations. The Russians have been preparing for this war. They've been preparing for the war, and they knew that there'll be sanctions. And they created ways to survive the sanctions. And the sanctions ended up hurting the sanctioneers. So the sanctioneers are the ones that are hurt now. And one EU member of parliament said no more sanctions against Russia. And the American official, I think Treasury Secretary, also advised against further sanctions because they now know that they are not economically viable. They are detrimental economically to the countries.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's, you know, for Trump, will just want to make money, want to make America stronger financially. And they want to make, you know, America great. Financially, so that's his prime focus, and that's why he went to Saudi Arabia, he went to Qatar, and they made deals up to $5 trillion in investment. That's a powerful deal. Biden could not do that.
Now, maybe people are also asking: is Netanyahu trying to protect his future or the leadership that he has in Israel, or what's happening since? He's surrounded by people who are fighting him, or people who he is fighting, and also the fact that even international public image is also not good.
Yeah, no, Netanyahu is not in a good state right now, even domestically.
Yeah.
So that's why he needs at least a war that he can win.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, at least for him to, and he thinks that if he wins a war, it will at least increase his public, you know, ratings in as far as the Israeli, you know, public is concerned. So he thinks that it might win him some trust, you know, among the Israeli public. Yeah. So that's what he thinks. So he's not in a good state politically in Israel. He's having a lot of opponents.
Even within
the coalition itself. So, and that's why, should there be elections in Israel right now, I don't think he will win. But the problem with Israeli politics is that no one really wins. Yeah, because no one can have a single victory over all those parties. They will still need each other to form a government.
It's coalition after coalition.
Yeah, there is no coalition, that there is no party singularly that is strong that can take over the government entirely. Yeah.
Now, okay. Maybe apart from Israel, who else in Middle East it's an ally, because we see Americans, they are calling Israel the greatest ally in the region. Who is working together, maybe just for the public also to say American friends? Apart from the Arabs and others, I mean apart from the business people, the United Arab Emirates and...
Countries like Jordan and Kuwait, Oman, those are small countries. They cannot afford the war.
Yeah.
They cannot afford to risk it by siding, whether it is Gaza or Iran.
Yeah.
So they would rather be, you know, on the American side. That is more safer for them.
Mm.
Yeah, because in fact, Jordan, Kuwait, and Oman, these countries, you sometimes hear them condemning Iran, his support over Hezbollah and so forth. So, you know, they cannot afford to be on the side of... I mean, the Americans defended Kuwait in the war against Saddam in the 90s.
Yeah.
And also in 2003, when the Americans invaded Iraq, they bombed Iraq from Kuwait using Kuwaiti airspace. Using Kuwaiti airspace.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now, I don't want us to go out of the topic, but Syria got a new guy on the chair now. Did he declare his interest, or he's still trying to settle?
No. Look, the guy in Syria is in a serious predicament, because he cannot pronounce himself now, because he has no strength left in him. Israel could suck up the last juice left in him, and he will also be decimated. So he would rather just be quiet for now.
So he's still settling.
Yeah, he would rather be quiet and watch things. You know, if it was Assad that was in power, you could see Assad supporting, you know, Iran.
Hmm.
But Assad now has fled into exile. He's now in Russia.
Okay.
So the new guy must just wait. He can only afford to watch things unfold quietly, because he's afraid that he can be bombed anytime by Israel. In fact, Israel is now getting into Syria with impunity, unlike when Assad was around. They now don't have any barrier at all. So if this guy will think that he can make declarations that are he will make declaration at his own detriment.
You'll take him down.
Very, very easily.
Uh-huh. I think...
All right, now, let's look at the issue of, now the probabilities. Because, there is news now that two Israeli agents have been arrested in Iran by the Iranian police, and they were found trying to, you know, make booby traps and also create bombs. They were found with explosives.
Mm-hmm.
That's the news that is coming in now. And also news that is coming in is, another news that is coming in is that China is flying, the Chinese planes are landing in Iran. And, there are suspicions that they are bringing air-to-air missiles.
They're not bringing food.
No, they're not bringing food. They're bringing missiles. So it seems it seems China is now supporting Iran, according to this. So now, this war is now dangerous, because Zelensky will now be, because this is 3 days and it's not going to continue. So Netanyahu says that it's going to continue for 14 days. And we don't know, it might be an all-out war by then, where you will see that ground forces will now start to be involved. And Zelensky is now
neglected.
is now worried, because if this war continues, America will pump in whatever it has to support Israel, and then the Ukrainian front will be neglected. And this is one thing that Zelensky cannot afford. But he cannot stop Netanyahu anyway, not to fight Iran. Because if the sooner Netanyahu stops, the earlier and the better that Zelensky gets assistance. But the longer it takes on, the more vulnerable Zelensky becomes, and then he will be decimated in no time. Yeah.
Now, is this a good opportunity for diplomacy, especially from Ukraine, just to save whatever is left there?
Well, Ukraine has already declared that they are not going to do negotiations.
What about this time, even in this situation?
Unless they retract their statements, mm-hmm. and then wanting to end everything, whether they end now or they end later, the results are still going to be the same, because they have lost territories. That is what is very important. So whether they end now or they end later, in fact, they were supposed to end in 2022 March, when they were not losing any territory yet. Uh-huh. But that chance was already spoiled by Boris Johnson and Biden, that they pumped in weapons and convinced them to continue fighting. So, but now the world is shifting into other situations, and we are now seeing the Iran-Israel conflict, which might drag in for a long time, and that will put. I think the only country that is watching and should make a correct decision is Taiwan. Yeah, Taiwan need to make correct decision by saying, we are not going to go with Uncle Sam, because Uncle Sam might abandon us if something happens like they are doing to Zelensky. Yeah. So, an all-out war is possible, looking at how things are escalating, because they are all exchanging missiles, and military targets have been hit in both countries. Israel is also losing military, installation. So we are about to enter a different, a different time altogether. It's shaping our world. We are about to enter a different time altogether.
No. Whatever is happening to Africa, because we are always at the end, and you've been commenting to say Africa we are just what is that word that you put in the show? We are just like to be given whatsoever.
Now, looking at this situation now that we are in now, or the situation that the world is going through now, a lot of things are happening. We did not even put trade war. We are just looking at Iran and Israel war. How is the future of Africa, either economic wise, either in terms of aligning with either the West or the East?
The future is very difficult to predict.
Yeah.
But we can only say the impact of a war.
Yeah.
For example, now.
Yeah.
Is very going. It's practically going to be very. Felt. In Africa, and it is going to be through your pocket. Like I gave an example that you order with me, people,
yeah.
and how you buy stuff, even imports from other countries into Namibia.
Mm.
Like that Gulf of Hormuz. It's in the Iranian coast, almost. So the Iranians could threaten every, you know, ship that is passing there, thinking that is a ship carrying weapons to Israel.
They'll take them down.
So, and insurance companies may increase the whatever their fees, and might even refuse to insure, you know, ships that are traveling using that route. And now, you know, shipment of goods may want to see to get another route, which is this by this time very other routes are there, but they are very long
and expensive.
Yeah, very long and expensive. And therefore, once the goods that will come here, for example, you buy your iPhone 13 at 10,000, now it is going to increase because of that risk that comes with, you know, ordering those stuff. Yeah, because we only have one reliable sea route, which is a Mediterranean sea route. Yeah. And that is where now conflict. The Americans are sending their naval force there, and the Iranians and the Houthis are targeting those ships, because there will be no once war breaks out, there will be no to say, no, we are carrying grain. No, you will be just hit. You are in the crossfire. Yeah. So planes will be shot down. People will stop traveling. Business will collapse. Investors will start pulling their money out because it's no longer safe to do business. There's a war. Everybody's afraid. So they are withdrawing their last money, and banks might close. It's a third world war. Though no one wants to go there, but once it comes, no one will be spared. So, and Africa will even be worse.
Yeah. I used to think the Secretary General of UN is a very powerful position, until I started seeing ministers of foreign affairs, especially with affected countries or maybe involved parties. I've seen it happen with Russia. I've seen it happen with Israel. Telling the Secretary General the way they want to say, where was he when I was provoked and all those things? Do we need to reform the UN, or do we need to move to another institution, or what is the solution?
Well, there is no institution that will come and do better than the United Nations. The problem is that countries that are powerful do not adhere to UN charters, to the UN charter. They do their own thing because they are powerful.
Now, how should we strengthen that?
Well, it's powerful countries that need to man up because they are powerful.
Okay.
Yeah. There's nothing anyone can do. There's nothing called a United Nations that is there. United Nations is a group of everyone, including America, including Russia. So, and if Russia and America are in a wrong, and of course China, these are three powerful countries, they have veto power in the United Nations Security Council. They have veto power. The United States have veto power. Britain has veto power. France has veto power. So those are the five, China, Russia, France, Britain, and America. They have veto power. Now, other 10 members could do what? They could do nothing. Because a veto is a veto. Yeah. So there is nothing can be done to strengthen. You strengthen the UN, you strengthen it with what? Because the strong will still continue to do what they want.
So they need to man up only.
They are just the one that need to come down from that power hangover of theirs and then facilitate peace for everyone. Because they are the ones that have the capacity to keep peace in the world. They are the ones that have capacity to break it. Yeah, so it's up to the powerful countries. You know, it's up to the powerful countries that are the ones that need to reform themselves and drop whatever it is that they are competing for, and everyone be in their own lane, and allow smaller countries like Namibia to choose freely their own alignment and their own freedom in terms of economic, you know, self-reliance.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay.
So there'll be chaos. Imagine the whole world is fighting, and then United Democratic Party in Zambezi, they're also creating their own military wing. That they want their own Caprivi.
The Revolutionary Guard.
Yeah, the Caprivi Revolutionary Guard. Because now there is chaos, everyone is fighting. Namibia will crush them immediately. Because now, you know, so it's absolute, you know, sometimes I call it, you know, political madness, what is going on in this world.
But maybe just before you cross up, is this not the what, how the world has been? Was the world ever at peace in maybe one decade? Or is this not how it has been? Is it not how women, I'm not supporting what's happening, but is it conflict not?
Yeah, no, wherever there is a human being, there's always conflict. Conflicts have always been there. But not major conflicts as we see them over the past 100 years. These ones will be have been very, very deadly.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
So yeah, but over the past 1,400 years, we have always been chaotic as human beings. With the Roman Empire, the Persian Empire, the Mid, the what, or the Empire overthrowing, you know. Even within Bantu, you know, tribes, we
to pitch other sense.
We used to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but that's how the world is. Of course, this was the analysis on what is happening. Of course, you keep listening to Eagle FM, your number one talk radio station, until next time. Until next time, it's a goodbye from me. And we'll meet again.
See you tomorrow. Shop. Selma, Kodara Heta Tim, Datunda Tu, Heri Hamanotano, Oniage, Eagle FM, the Eye. Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6%, is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the Eye.